Bienvenue and welcome to Akeem's Dream Show. My name is Akeem the Dream, also known as Brown Sugar Supreme, also known as The Dark Knight Batman. I'm Batman. This show is a variety show because I had a lot of ideas growing up and wrote them down, and my curiosity is insatiable. And you'll notice that I have a lot of random ideas and subjects, but I think that's what makes it fun. Variety is the spice of life, and I like to keep it spicy, and you will find that out very quickly. Remember, folks, never grow old with no stories to tell. And it's finally time to spice things up. Let's go.
Check this out.
They're playing basketball.
All around the world.
We are the best
to the beach,
they're
y'all.
They're playing basketball.
Let's go. All around the
we
world.
Are the best
y'all know.
Basketball.
This is so dead.
What's up, freak bitches? This is Akeem's Dream Show. Salamat Po, Palawan, Manila. Here we go. Philippines, for show. Adobo in my belly, baby. Chang Airport in Singapore. I was supposed to get a connecting flight from Singapore, Manila, Puerto Princesa in Palawan. Little did I know I was about to be drugged by the Singaporean government because I noticed that they were spraying some mist from the ceiling by the gate. I'm at a vegetable at a produce section in a grocery store. Why are you spraying this mist on us? Apparently it was for the plants, but I know they're putting a little bit of Cyclone B in that gas. Make sure that we're all drugged up before we leave the country. Anyways, I'll leave that airport, go to Manila, Puerto Princesa. Puerto Princesa is in Palawan, which is this big, beautiful tropical island, well known for the beaches and clear sands and clear waters. Some of the best beaches in the world, some of the nicest people in the world. I really didn't know what to expect with the Philippines. All I know is that the most nicest people I know in Edmonton and really in Canada are Filipinos. They're so friendly and so accommodating. They'll cook for you. They'll gladly bring you into their house, into their home. They're some of the friendliest people on the planet. And that was very consistent throughout my time in the Philippines. Puerto Princesa was this kind of tropical paradise. You get off the island, you get off the plane, you're like, well, we're in paradise here. You can just tell it, the heat, the tropical views. And although Puerto Princesa was kind of a boring place, it's just this place where people land before they go explore the island of the Palawan. I did stay for one night because I wanted to watch the Super Bowl. And I didn't know if the places I was going to, which is Port Barton and El Nido, would be showing such a game. So Puerto Princesa, I get there. First thing I notice is they don't have tuk-tuks like they do in Thailand here. They have bike tucks, which is just like a motorbike with this raggedy metal shack on top and like a Scooby-Doo side saddle caboose on the side. So you feel like you're Scooby-Doo on Shaggy's mystery machine as you go through the streets of Philippines. I go out for dinner. This kid picks me up and drives me to dinner. I'm like, all right, what do I owe you, buddy? How many pesos? By the way, $120 Canadian is equal to 5,000 pesos. So it's like, I don't know, 25, 30 bucks for 1,000 pesos. I'm like, how many pesos do I owe you, buddy? And he goes, actually, I wait for you for dinner. I was like, what do you mean? You're going to come and eat with me? And he goes, no. I will wait outside. And when you're done, I will drive you home. I said, bro, you could probably make more money out there not waiting for me. And he goes, oh, slow night. I will take you home. So I finish up. I have some adobo, which is just like, you know, chicken with gravy and rice. The Filipino food is okay, but it's after you have Thailand food and Japanese food, it doesn't really compare. It's not on the same level. It is delicious, depending on what you get. Like, I liked some of the soups were good. Some of the barbecue was pretty good. But overall, you're going to have better food in Thailand, in my opinion. Anyways, I had some adobo, chicken adobo, which was pretty good. And then this kid drove me home. As I'm driving, getting to ride home with him, dude almost gets me arrested by offering me, like, ladies. He's like, hey, do you know any girls? Do you like girls? I was like, yeah, I like girls. He's like, you like Filipino girls? I was like, yeah, they're pretty cute. And he goes, do you want that I can find you a Filipino girl? I was like, what do you mean? He's like, just come to this bar. I'll get you a Filipino. I was like, bro, you're going to get me arrested. I'll probably pass on that. So he drops me off and go to bed early because the next morning, I got to get up early to watch the Super Bowl. So the Super Bowl casts at 7 a.m. in Palawan. And I love the NFL. Football is a big part of my life, obviously. So watching the 49ers play the Chiefs, and Patrick Mahomes is becoming the Michael Jordan of football for some reason. Like, he's just unbelievably talented. Wins a game-winning drive for the Super Bowl, wins it. So anyways, I don't really give a shit because my team's the Eagles, but it was an entertaining game. And normally, if I was back home, I'd be having this huge party at my place because I love to host Super Bowl parties. You know, feed all the homies, you know what I mean? Some man food and we watch the game, but I was in the Philippines, so actually the front desk knew I wanted to watch it, and I was going to watch it in my room. because no other sports bar in Puerto Princesa was playing it for some reason. So I'm watching it in my room, and they call me at like 7:30 in the morning, and they're like, actually, we have people watching it in the lobby. Come down, watch it. So I come down and watch it with all these like foreigners, these backpackers, and it was actually a cool vibe, just watching, drinking coffee, and definitely a different setup from what I'm used to, but hey, a game's a game, right? After that, I take a bus filled with chicks all the way to Port Barton. So Port Barton is this like coastal town on the west coast of Palawan, which is this really low-key rural kind of town. It's got a lot of potential. Like, it's a really cool spot because it's not really discovered yet and built on, but it's got the really beautiful raw natural resources that, like, once some investor gets a hold of it, it's going to become the next El Nido or the next, you know, kind of Cancun of the area, because it's just got all the bones, like beautiful beaches, sunsets, everything you need. And it's like in a jungle setting. It's really sick. So anyways, before I talk about Port Barton, it's the ride. It's kind of similar to Thailand, except you're in like a Sprinter van. You're not in a big, big Greyhound bus. And in this Sprinter van, I meet this chick named Natalie. She went on solo trip after her honeymoon with her husband. And I hit it off with her. I was like, hey, have a nice trip. Maybe I'll see you around. As soon as we get dropped off, part ways with her. And then I get to my place, which was $60 Canadian. And it didn't even have its own washroom. I had a communal washroom and I had a fly net. And then the next night I was in Port Barton, I spent $30 and I had my own room and my own AC. I was like, this place is confusing. How can you spend double the money and have half the amenities? I was kind of choked about that, but I was like, you know what? It is what it is. I'm just going to go out and be a solo traveler. And I started to figure out this solo traveler thing. It's all about being extroverted, which I'm pretty good at anyways, and being social, which I'm pretty good at anyways. But even though I'm pretty social and pretty extroverted, you still have to be conscious about like going out there and putting yourself into situations where you can meet people. Because solo traveling, it is what you make of it. You got to be a pretty strong individual to do it for weeks and weeks and just develop that attitude of like, I'm just going to go out there and meet people today. Because you don't want to be alone for too long, right? You'll go insane unless you're a naturally introverted person. But even then, you'll just, you know, you're on vacation, you want to have some experiences with some people. So I turned that mentality on in my head. And the first night I was in Port Barton, I'm like, you know what, let's go out there and go for a little gander, see what's all about, you know, see what's going on. And it's this really cool laid back place where there is some, like, you know, younger people, but it's kind of low key, right? There's like one dance club that I heard of and I did research on. I was like, I'll probably end up there later, but let me go see if I can make some friends first. So I go to this bar. I'm on the beach. I think it's called the Happy Happy Bar. As I'm walking up, I see this guy booking it, like sprinting, full on sprint from the restaurant. I'm like, oh, holy shit. Like, does he have to go take a deuce or what? Next thing I know, I see this lady with Happy Happy, like she's one of the employees there, sprinting down the street in the same direction of the guy. I'm like, did that guy just do a dine and dash? Like, if you're skipping out on 300 pesos, you got bigger problems, right? I get there and I start noticing this is happening like every 15 minutes where people are just getting up and booking it. And I'm like starting to think to myself, is there like a serious problem here in the Philippines with people skipping out on their bill? That's exactly what was happening. People were doing a dine and dash. And I guess to work at this place, you had to get timed on the 100 meter dash, because if you couldn't clock 13, 14 seconds flat, there's no way you're getting that job. You know, they're not going to risk having some slow person working there and then, you know, taking L's on bills people don't want to pay. So I was like, okay, it's that kind of place. Interesting. Just people booking it after they buy one beer. The beer in the Philippines is Miguel. So Chang is the beer in Thailand. Sapporo is kind of the big beer or Kirin is the big beer in Japan. And in the Philippines is Miguel. So you get Miguel Lights or Miguel Apple beers and stuff like that. As I sit down at this beach bar, watch people sprint off on their bill. And just drink my beer, you know, laying low, kind of looking around, getting the lay of the land. And I look across the bar, or across the beach bar, and everyone's got their feet in the sand. And I see these chicks, and one of them looked at me. And I noticed it, and I did the old look away and look back. And she was still looking. And then I smiled, and I was like, okay, that's come over here sign, I think. And you'll never know unless you go up and pull yourself up by your ball sack and walk over there like a man. So I walk over there, and I go, hey, my name's Akeem. Can I join you guys? And they go, yeah, for sure. These chicks were cool. So I ended up meeting these girls. They're from the Netherlands and they're just on vacation. One of them lives in Spain. The other one lives in Malaysia. and I was with them the whole night. It was fun. So I was partying, drinking with them. We're just sitting there talking, shooting the shit. The one girl, they're both from the Netherlands, but the girl who lives in Malaysia, she could drink. And little did I know, these girls, well, one of them, the one that lives in Malaysia, was the princess of the Netherlands. Her dad is the king of the Netherlands. They didn't tell me this right away, but towards the end of the night, as we start getting drunk, she told me, she's like, my dad didn't want to tell you this right away, but my dad is the king of the Netherlands. I was like, say what? Yeah. She's like, yeah, my dad, I'm a princess. I was like, get the fuck. I was like, and she proved it. She showed me a picture of her family and her dad's the king. So I was drinking with royalty that night. I was having a drink. She was having a drink. The girl from Spain that was from the Netherlands, she was like more laid back. She was drinking water. She was a little smarter. But my pride, I felt like this girl was trying to drink me under the bar. So I'm like, yeah, I'll drink for you. Let's get another beer. And I was going to be like, okay, it's one of those nights. You know, she's challenging my manhood by continuing the drink. Guys, if a girl is starting to outpace you in beers, don't keep up with her. Because that means she's a seasoned professional. By the time we left this place, we were already 7 or 8 deep. I was like, holy shit, this could be a long, long night. I guess Dutch chicks can really, you know, pile it back. We go to this Jamaican bar. Then we go all the way to this place called the Moon Bar. At the Moon Bar, we start getting shots. We start doing drinks, getting more drinks. By the time it was all said and done, we'd probably polished off 18 or 19 drinks each, like fully in the bag, just completely done to the world. And this girl from Malaysia, she takes my necklace as a memento. And I wake up and I realize she's taken it. And I'm like, oh, the old leave my stuff in the apartment and come back trick, eh? So I'm like, why did she take my stuff? Anyways, I got really drunk with these chicks. And when we were dancing at the club, these local old Filipino guys came over. And I was dancing with the one from Malaysia. And then the other girl was dancing by herself. So the guy comes over and he's like, looks at me. He's like gesturing that he's going to take the other girl. I'm like, yeah, man, go for it. Yeah. So we're all dancing with them. And then by the time like midnight rolls around, there's like a band playing and everyone's just vibing. Just full on dance party. And then these American military dudes show up and start dancing with us. And it's this whole thing. I don't know. I was kind of lost to the world. Like I remember seeing cockroaches on the ground but me trying to keep up in drinks with these chicks, it really set me back. Like that's probably the second drunkest I got since I was in Asia. First drunkest was in Osaka. But it was only because my pride was in question that as soon as my pride was in play, all my logic went out the window. She dragged me under the bus and then threw me under the bus. And the next day, I had to wake up in my fishnet, mosquito net thing, without any AC, cooking, hungover, wasted, not happy, and I didn't have my necklace. So I communicate with them. I'm like, I'll see you guys at 4 o'clock. I'm going to be dead to the world until then. And then I'm walking to get eggs, checking out of my first $60 place to go to the $30 place. And I see Natalie, the girl from the bus. And she sees me and I'm like dead. And she'd already woken up and gone for a run on the beach and walked over to she's like had a productive day. And here I am being a piece of shit, hungover dumbass. That's always the worst when you're hungover and you know, you're just starting your day and you run into somebody and they've already done like 10 things. That's why drinking kind of sucks because you just lose days, right? I struggle over to my new place and just die in the room until like 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Then I reconnect with the chicks from Netherlands, get my necklace back, make plans with them. And then when I finally come back to life, Natalie hits me up and she's like, hey, do you want to grab dinner? And go to meet Natalie for dinner. And then the Dutch chicks come and we meet, all three of us go out together for dinner. So I'm with Natalie and the two girls from the Netherlands. And then we're getting dinner, get some fish on the side of the road, this little fish shack. And there's like little cats walking around everywhere and we're trying to feed the cats. After that, we go to a little beach bar, hang out, and then Natalie brings some of her friends. And this is kind of a natural, organic way of just getting a party together, right? You start with one girl or one person, and then, you know, your old friends that you met earlier come around, and then now everyone's friends, and you're just kind of meeting people. They're introducing you to people. You're introducing them to people, and then you have a gang of people. Next thing you know, I'm like at a beach bar and sitting there hanging out, drinking my coconut water, surrounded by like 8 or 9 chicks and like 2 dudes from wherever in Europe. But I called it in early that night because I didn't want to party again. I went out too hard the night before and I had to catch a bus the next morning with the 2 chicks from the Netherlands up to El Nido. So El Nido is another 3 hours up the road north on the tip of Palawan. And El Nido is the most famous spot in Palawan. It's got all the adventures and the things to do as far as like snorkeling and boat tours and all that kind of stuff. Hop in a van, and in the van, I didn't really talk to the chicks from the Netherlands on this bus again. I saw them once or twice in El Nido, but I guess some other girls noticed me and made eyes with me, because I remember getting off the bus in El Nido and Sprinter van in El Nido. And by the way, these Sprinter vans that take you from Puerto Princesa to Port Barton and Port Barton to El Nido, you better have a doggy bag with you, because it's almost like being on a ship out in the ocean during high seas, right? High tide. Like this bus is tossing and turning, and oh my God, I almost wanted to knock myself out so I wouldn't get shuttle sickness. I'm not sure what it's called, but yeah, very nauseous environment. El Nido was cool. I got my scooter. I was going to be there for 3 or 4 days, just hang out, see the city. And I went to this scooter shop, and it was Valentine's Day, so I sent a note to Sonieta, and I was just talking to her. And this lady I was talking to while I was waiting for a scooter to arrive just kind of shared her life story. And she had been married to this gentleman for 40 years, and they ran the shop together. And she was just giving me tips about how to have a successful marriage. She offered me some spaghetti. She brought me into her house. She showed me family pictures. I was just like, wow, this is the Filipino culture in a nutshell, right? Like, they're just like inviting me into her home, inviting me, feeding me, and then, you know, giving me a deal on the scooter. Like, beautiful soul she was. So I get the scooter, get back into town, and then I'm like, hey, I'm going to go meet people. I'm back into that mode again. But I have to tie something back. Remember when I said I got off the boat and these girls recognized me, or they were looking at me, or I can tell when the girls are checking me out. These two girls I didn't know were checking me out when I got off the Sprinter van in El Nido. And this is an important detail for later on. So I get my moped, go to my hostel, which was the shittiest hostel, second shittiest hostel besides the one in Singapore that I've been to on this whole trip. This hostel, there was a cot, there was like, essentially it was just cots. And the bathroom, the water pressure was nil. Like, so the thing with the Philippines too is it's still being discovered. Like, people go there for tourism, but it's not as established as Thailand. So not all the infrastructure is there yet, right? Like, they have running water, but sometimes it doesn't really run, if you catch my drop. Sometimes you go take a shower and you can literally get only 10 or 15 drops of water out. And that was me. And I was all sweaty and gross. I just wanted to shower and I couldn't. I had to wait like every 5 minutes, like a stream of water would come out. And I'd quickly soap and slather up, and then I'd wash myself in the sink. So I'm like, I'm not even gonna bitch and complain. This is what it is. So after I take my half an hour shower and get maybe a liter of water on me, I go out into the town, walk around, get some dinner. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't really know anybody here, so I'm just going to do a few laps. On my last lap, I was going to walk home after this because I didn't really get a chance to meet anybody. I turn the corner and I walk up to this place called Friends Hostel, which was like the really cool hostel. It's booked out like 3 or 4 months in advance. And lo and behold, guess who's outside the front of the hostel? Are these chicks from, one's from Turkey, one's from Switzerland. I recognize them. I'm like, you guys are the girls from the bus, right? And they start blushing. They're like, yeah. And I was like, yeah, I think I recognized you. I think we made eyes after we landed from Port Barton. And they're like, yeah, I recognize you, da da da. And next thing you know, I'm with them going to the top floor of Friends Hostel. And we meet some more Canadians up there. And then those girls from the shuttle van are painting me. I'm painting them. And then we're dancing, getting a few drinks. And then we're going out around the town, going from bar to bar, bar hopping. Next thing you know, we're all dancing together at the club Amigos at the beachfront there in El Nido downtown, just partying our asses off. And I was just like, man, this is awesome. The one chick from Hungary was super into me. Like, she was grabbing me and stuff. And how lucky am I, right, to just go and meet people from the bus? And it's not like I was coordinating anything, right? I was just running into them. So it's the second night in a row I'm just meeting people on the street. Actually, third night. Anyways, so after we finish clubbing, I go to bed and wanted to get some rest because the next day I'm going on a boat tour. So the boat tours out of El Nido are apparently pretty sick, and I went on boat tour A. I don't know anybody in the boat, so I'm just kind of by myself. Everybody else on these boat tours goes with people, right? Like, they're normal. First two or three stops, I'm kind of like just chilling, doing my own thing. Next thing you know, these people from Italy start talking to me and we start going back and forth. And I love Italians. I love Italian culture. I love Italy. It's the first place I ever traveled to when I was a kid First place outside of Canada I ever visited, besides the States, was Italy. I went on a week-long trip with my school when I was 13 or 14 years old. Went from Venice, went all the way down south and back. So I have a special place in my heart for Italy's and Italians and Sopranos and Godfather. My dad in Ottawa, he's a Jamaican guy, but really outside of Jamaicans, the only people he hangs out with are Italians. So there's something about the Italian culture that's captured my imagination. And Matteo and Eliza are these guys that I met on the boat, and we just ended up hanging out all day. It was awesome. We did the canoe trips together. We were shooting the shit, talking about life and all this stuff. You know, I really connected with them. Like, Teo was a super cool guy, wanted to be friends with him, really. And his wife or his girlfriend, Eliza, same thing, like super cool people. So after the boat tour, we'd lined up dinner to go meet for dinner later. But on the way to the dinner spot, I noticed that there was this huge basketball stadium in the middle of the town beside this big barbecue area. So I'm like, yo, that's sick. Let's go there. So I went there first and I told them to meet me there. So Matteo and Eliza meet me at the basketball stadium, and we're watching basketball. So basketball is huge in the Philippines, huge. It's like, I think the national sport. My original love is basketball. Basketball captured my heart in 1994 when I started watching the NBA with Michael Jordan, and Space Jam came out and I started playing basketball. It's the first sport I ever played. So I've been playing basketball I'm 32 now. So 4 or 5 years old, all the way to 32, right? Like, you know, 27 years, 28 years I've been playing basketball, and I coach basketball. I pretty much have a PhD in basketball by now. Watch that, and then we go to an Italian spot for dinner, of course, and they're giving me this whole criteria about how to judge the pasta and how to judge the bread, and they're like, you know, the bread should be this consistency and this, and the sauce should be this and this, and I order a margarita pizza, and I get them to try it. We hit it off, and they're like, if you ever want to come to Italy and check it out, you know, let us know, keep in touch, and we'll show you around. And I'm like, you bet your ass I'm coming to Italy and hanging out with you guys. So that was freaking awesome. And, you know, I have a picture of them on my Instagram. That's the picture of me and them in the canoe, because we canoed around together too. So next day I take my scooter and I go out to Napcam Beach. Nicest beach I've ever been to in my entire life, bar none. Not that I'm a beach connoisseur, that I've been to a million beaches, but I think I know a nice beach when I see one. And this place was insane. And my idea was, I didn't really have anything booked past the first two nights when I was in El Nido. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go check out Nacpan. If it's any good, I'll book a place up there and then just be a beach bum for 3 days. I go up there, check it out for a few hours, come back. When I was on the beach there, I met a German chick who was living in China with her husband, but working at some like company. And yeah, the company moved them to China, but she's from Germany. And she was telling me that in China, nobody in this town that she lives, I think she lived in Shanghai, she said nobody owns keys. So for your car, if you drive a car, it's keyless. Your apartment is keyless. Everything is keyless. Everything is like your prints. So you use a fingerprint for how you access your company, how you access your apartment, how you access the building. It's all personalized. So part of me was like, that's kind of cool. You never have to worry about forgetting your keys. But part of me was like, whoa, if you fuck up, you are toast. Like, you're not getting in anywhere. But anyways, that was an interesting person I met there in the beach, and she was staying at a freaking nice place. Like, the place I booked in Nacam Beach, it was like maybe $30 a night, and I had to walk down a dirt path into the town to get to it. The places on the beach were like $300-$400 a night. So I was like, oh, good for her. She must be on her honeymoon, or she must be big balling. So anyway, so I leave Nacam Beach, come back, and I'm walking around. There's this big barbecue, like market street right beside the basketball area in El Nido. So once I get back from Nacam, which is like a 30-minute scooter drive, I go to this barbecue area, going for something to eat, but I can't really make my mind up, because each one of these stalls looks the same. Looks like they cook the exact same thing. It's just chicken, fish, or squid. This guy sees that I have a little bit of a lost puppy look on my eyes, and he goes, yo, man, what's going on? This Filipino guy. And I'm like, I don't know how to, like, what's going on here? And it's not really clear how you order either, because they have the barbecues right next to the sidewalk, and there's like park benches behind them. And he's like, you can order here, man. What do you want? I'll get you some chicken. I was like, bro, you're speaking to my heart now. Let's go. Let's get some chicken. And he's like, are you by yourself? I'm like, yeah, man, solo traveling. And he goes, do you want to meet some Filipino girls or some Filipinos? I was like, hell yeah. So he turns around and there's like a group of people sitting there. And he's like, hey, this is, what's your name? I was like, my name is Akeem. He's like, this is Akeem from Canada. And they go, come sit down with us. I'm like, sick. So I mean, sit down with them and they're funny, man. They're just roasting me and rizzing me and hitting on me. They're like, oh, cutie, handsome man. I'm like, oh, this, more of this, eh? Being called handsome. I could be called handsome all day. So keep it coming. Ended up connecting with this girl named Vanessa. She's a local Filipino lady. I ended up connecting with her. And then the other girl, her friend, her cousin, she runs like a tourism agency. And then there was this couple. One of them is a captain. And then the other one works in the tourism industry as well. The captain guy was pretty funny. He's like a basketball player and he's like good sense of humor. The one thing with the Filipinos, hanging out with the local Filipinos that I recognize is beyond the niceness and everything I've already mentioned is like, they really can't talk without laughing. They're like the happiest people. Here's the other thing with Filipino society is, I don't think I'm making a huge generalization and prediction here, but I would venture to guess that the Philippines has the lowest incident, especially outside of Manila, outside of the big cities, has the lowest incident of anxiety, depression, mental health issues, or any of that kind of shit across any, all metrics. They probably still have it, but I bet you in these areas where I went and the people I talked to, they probably have the lowest incidence of it in anywhere in the world, really. They're so happy to just be with their family, be in their communities. And I think the geography has something to play with it too. Like, if it was plus 35 every single day I woke up here and I was by a beautiful beach and just eating chicken every day and hanging out, I was like playing basketball. I'm like, fuck, it'd be pretty hard to be depressed, you know? Like, look where we are, right? We're in freaking paradise. Every day you just wake up, have a coffee, and then you go get a coconut, suck that back, and then you're eating a mango, fresh mango off the street. Like, I mean, I just felt boosted. It felt like I was me dipped in me sauce. So I'm hanging out with Vanessa and the whole crew, eating some chicken, and they're like, let's go do karaoke. So basketball is big in the Philippines. Karaoke is even bigger. There's like 6 or 7 karaoke bars in El Nido. So we go to one of them, and I'm expecting them to be like, whatever, just like karaoke singers, right? Like, okay, but not like Mariah Carey. These chicks were like Mariah Carey. These chicks were like Celine Dion level of singing. I was like, you guys should be famous. What the fuck? Like, you guys are so good at singing. Their voices, like, they hit that high C perfectly. Every note was just hit with it was so good that people went before them, and then when they went, like, when people went, people sing a karaoke, they're kind of on their phone talking to their friends, whatever, not really paying attention. As soon as Vanessa and her friend started singing, the whole place, like, looked at them, was like, what is going on, man? Like, these people are insane level singers. And Vanessa, the girl I was hanging out with that I connected with, she's like a DJ. She's got like 7 or 8 different jobs. I was like, holy shit, you're hustling. Like, you must be rich. She's like, no, just trying to survive. I was like, good for you. I respect people who hustle like that. So we do the karaoke and then we go to the Amigos bar, which is the same bar that I went to with those chicks from Hungary and Switzerland. And then Vanessa and I are doing coordinated dance moves and it's just a whole vibe. It's so much fun. We're just having a blast. And the thing with these clubs is, they have fans going on in there, but they like kind of turn off randomly. So it's like plus 30 at night and you're dancing in this club and just sweating. It's just a big sweat fest. It reminded me of that music video by Christina Aguilera called Dirty, when they're all in the club and everyone's just wet. That's what it was like. It was just like everyone's wet and nobody gives a shit. After the club, we all part ways and I'm heading home to my place. And on the street, I see this little street cart. And there's like 8 or 9 Filipinos huddled around it, like just shoving back food. And I'm like, what kind of food is this? There's this big like witch's vat of food, like gravy and beef, and then a big pot of rice. And they put these bowls out with plastic in them and these wooden forks. And these guys are just going to town on it. They go up, I go up, and they start to ask me questions. Hey, what's going on? How you doing? And then I tell them a little bit about myself, and they buy me a dish. They ask me how I'm doing. They asked me what my plans are. It turns out these guys run a boat tour, an exhibition, which is like a really popular thing people do between the island of Coron and El Nido. Is a series of like, it's a big chain archipelago of all these islands, right? A series of islands. And what people do is, instead of taking a big ferry from Coron to El Nido, they do this like pirate mission where they go on this exhibition with these captains And they camp in every island along the way from between Coron and El Nido. So these guys ran one of those tours and they're telling me about it and they're buying me food. And this gravy, it was probably the second best food I enjoyed. Oh, no, it was my favorite dish. And I can't even remember what it was called. It's like this beef gravy thing. And it was delicious. I had like two bowls of it and they paid for it. I tried to pay for it. Like, no, you're our guest. This is our family. Next day, I just go to work out, have like a personal day, have some coffee. Cause by this point, every day was just jam packed, right? And I was like, kind of like pinching myself. I'm like, I'm solo traveling. I'm meeting all these amazing people. Like, what's going on? Vanessa texts me. She's like, hey, like, we're going to go out again. Like, you should meet us. So I go to meet them again at the same place, the chicken place. And we essentially just do the exact same night on repeat, go do karaoke. Except that when we're doing karaoke, I look outside on the second deck, the power goes out. And as soon as the power comes back on, I just see this guy stumble out of the darkness. And I call him now the monster of El Nido, stumbling around in random circles with like just like a sludge, like a drunk monster. And he goes up to this food cart. He's like starts mumbling garbage and then just grabs chicken, picks it up, puts it down, starts like funneling around with the food. And then he doesn't pay, doesn't buy anything. He just walks away, stumbles around. I'm like, this guy is just lost to the world, man. He needs to leave the streets. He needs to like pass out on the beach. And then he stumbles into our karaoke bar. And I got a video of him just like being complete sludge, drunk, drunken mess, a pile of goo. And I was like, bro, get this guy out of here, man. After that, we're walking around and Vanessa's like, you're going to try balut. And I was like, what's balut? It's a famous Filipino food. And I guess a lot of the locals just go nuts on it, right? They just love, first of all, Asians just love eggs generally. Like every place I went to, including Japan, they put the Japanese people put eggs in their ramen, right? Filipino people put eggs in almost on the side of every dish. Thai people put eggs in almost every dish. Even in Singapore, they had it in the soups and stuff. Like eggs and rice make Asia go round, right? That's what greases the wheel in Asia. They have an egg cart and essentially they have like just regular eggs. And then they have balut, which is like a fertilized, normally duck egg. The duck inside has started to grow and then it dies. They cook it, boil it. Sometimes it's got feathers. Sometimes it's got like little bird wings and everything's half developed. And what they'll do is they'll crack that open, put vinegar and salt on it and eat it. And Vanessa was like, you're going to do it with me, right? I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. Give me that thing. So I walk over there and everyone, their whole crew is like looking at me, cheering me on. Like, come on, Akeem, you can do it. And I actually put this video up on YouTube. If you go to Akeem Brown and you type in how to eat balut, you'll watch the whole video with me, Vanessa, eating the balut in real time. It was pretty bad. I'm not going to lie. The salt and vinegar made it palatable, but it was hard to chew through that little baby bird and get it down. So apparently it's a delicacy and a lot of Filipinos eat it like all the time, right? When they're growing up, like Vanessa and the other people were eating it like no problem. But for me, it was, you know, I had to slog my way through it. So the next day I leave and I go to Nat Cam Beach for 3 days. I took a shuttle instead of a moped. And in the shuttle, I picked up a bunch of people around El Nido before going to NACPAN. And in the shuttle, these two girls were sitting next to me. I didn't really pay them any mind, didn't really notice them. And then the next day while I'm at the beach, just hanging out, one of the girls from the bus, I'm like in my lounge chair, just like getting some sunny vitamin D. She ends up sitting next to me. I'm like, you're that girl from the bus, right? And she's like, oh yeah, I recognize you. And I'm like, I'm starting to notice a pattern here. By hook or crook, I'm running into a lot of people for my transportation. So people out there, if you're traveling by yourself, a good rule of thumb is just talk to people on the trains, planes, and automobiles. Because if they're going to the same place as you, there's a good chance you're going to run into them. This girl named Jasmine, she's Filipino, Swiss, and Italian. So imagine what she looks like, right? She's a beautiful girl. Anyways, so she comes up to me on the beach and I'm chatting with her. We end up hanging out the rest of that night and like, you know, just getting to know each other a little bit and really easy going. Nothing happened. Just chilling, just getting, you know, just someone to hang out with, right? This beach had a really cool setup where it's like they had a bunch of really high-end hotels like I was mentioning, but then you could buy a burger for 200 pesos. You know, you could get some chicken. They had coconuts and mangoes everywhere. And I, oh my God, something about vitamin D, coconuts and mangoes, it just makes my heart sing. And I'm reading my ebook on the beach. I met this Swedish couple. One of the guy's name is Gustav, and I think his wife's name is Nina. They're from Sweden. I connected with him. He's really awesome, dude. Third day I was there, Jasmine hit me up again, and then we ended up hanging out again. Later that day, we were walking on the beach, and I saw my first ever turtle, this huge tortoise, turtle, sea turtle, whatever. It was massive, probably 4 feet long, 3.5 feet wide. I'd never seen a turtle before, so it kind of blew my mind. And then Jasmine and I got into this huge debate about if our life is predetermined or if we have free will. She thinks we have free will. I think everything is predetermined. Because the reason I think everything is predetermined is because you didn't choose who your parents are. And a lot of like really advanced theoretical physicists believe this as well, that everything is predetermined or life is linear, that we don't really have any choice. So you have it, you have free will to the extent that you feel like you do, but I don't think we actually determined anything. I think everything in our life, we're just riding the rut of what we were predetermined to do. So anyways, after 2-3 nights on the beach, I just loved it, soaked it up. Oh yeah, when I first got to Natcan Beach, one of the stories is I'm getting settled in my hostel and I wanted to do a little walk around, see where the lay of the land. And there's a village next to where all the developments are. And it kind of points out onto Natcan Beach. This village has a bunch of kids, and it was Sunday when I got there. So all the kids were out of school, and I start eating, and the kids like start congregating around me and ask me questions. Where are you from? What's going on? They teach me how to say Salamat Po properly, which is like thank you, and it's a Galog, which is the language of the Philippines. And anyways, start hitting it off with these kids, and they're like, do you play basketball? I'm like, yeah, I play basketball. They're like, do you want to play basketball against us? End up playing basketball for 3 hours against these kids. Maybe not three, like 2 hours against these kids. I'm sweating bullets. And they have a dirt court. It's a really bad hoop. I would love to go back there with some cash and like upgrade the whole facility, but it's awesome. Man, these kids are awesome, man. They're just so much fun. And after we're playing basketball, they took me to this rock cliff at the end of the beach and showed me this little cave that they like to explore in. And then we're making our way back. They're like, oh, do you have a, they're like 10, 12 years old, maybe 13 years old. They're like, where's your girlfriend? Do you have a girlfriend? I'm like, I don't have a girlfriend. And he's like, the leader of the kids was like, we'll get you a girlfriend. Do you like Filipino girls? And I'm like, this kid is like the kid from Puerto Princesa without a Filipino tuk-tuk. I'm like, no, I'm good, man. He goes, well, oh, it's okay. We'll help you. And then there's a girl on the beach while we're walking back to the town. And they're like, excuse me. And you know, the girl's like, oh, hi, little boy. What's going on? He goes, are you single? And the lady goes, I'm probably too old for you. And they're like, not for me. This is our friend from Canada, Akeem. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. And she's like laughing her ass off. And she goes, you're getting little Filipino boys to wheel and deal for you? I'm like, is it working? I just love how much fun it was to hang out with these kids, man. It's just playing basketball, exploring the coastline. They're telling me what they want to be when they grow up, like coast guards, captains, doctors, police officers. When I was buying one of those 200 peso burgers one day on the beach, there's a few islands that jut out from Natcan Beach, and the lady who's working the grill was like, do you know that beach over there? She's like, do you know Manny Pacquiao? I was like, yeah. He's like, she goes, that Manny Pacquiao owns that whole island. And Manny Pacquiao is this famous boxer. You can look him up. He was actually, I think, the president of the Philippines at one point, but he probably one of the most famous Filipinos. He fought Floyd Mayweather. He's been a big time boxer for a long time, but he owns that island. So if you get rich out there and you're listening to this, the Philippines is a great place to maybe look at buying an island, because there's 7,000 islands in the Philippines. That concludes my time on Palawan. Well, Coron is part of Palawan, but I took a ferry from El Nido to Coron the next day. Coron is this kind of, it's kind of a slower town. It's not as fun to me, but first night I'm in Coron, go to the bar, turn around, do the same old routine. Hey, my name is Akeem, saying hi to strangers. And these three people, one's from Seoul, one's from Germany, the other one's from Scotland. It's an interesting, eclectic group. But they all met each other traveling, and they brought me along for the night. Next thing you know, the two girls who are there are behind the ice cream bar down the road. They took over the services and started serving ice cream. They started serving ice cream to everybody who was walking by. And they just employed themselves. And the guys, the Filipinos who actually worked there, were like laughing their ass off. They're like, yeah, you can work here if you want. So they were serving me ice cream, walking around. Next day, I go on a boat tour. This boat tour, I got heat stroke. I met this really cool American guy, but I was kind of, I had a stomach ache from the night before. Couldn't really get into the exhibitions and in the kayaking and all this stuff. Would rather chill at the boat and just get some rays, but I got too many rays. and I've never got heat stroke like this before, but later on it hurt really bad. At one of the stops on this tour though, you have to walk up this huge mountainside to go to the other side where there's this nice bay. There's this guy sitting at the bottom of the staircase, and all he says is, "Ice cream, ice cream." And he's got this like cooler with full of ice cream, and he's probably making a killing. But everyone started hanging around him because all the tourists who were doing these stops were hanging around him because they loved the way he was saying ice cream. He would just be like, "Ice cream, ice cream." But good for him. He's making money. I bought ice cream from him. I get off of the boat at the pier after the tour, and I start noticing that I can't speak anymore. I'm starting to slur my words. Like, I can't speak clearly anymore. So I go buy ginger ale, get back to my place, and I'm hot to touch, and I can't think clearly, and it feels like I'm hungover. So I lay down, and then I'm like, I can't, I'm like overheating. So I go take a cold shower for an hour, and then I just notice that like I'm hot, and I can't cool down. Somehow I manage to fall asleep, and I don't really sleep that well. I wake up, and I'm still hot, like 10 hours later. So that day, it was almost like I was hungover, and it was just because of the sun. The sun cooked me alive that day. By the time I woke up and recovered, I was all right, but just folks, just get some shelter from the sun. Don't want to be out there too long. I rented a scooter. I went into the mainland Quran. So Quran is this big island, and it's a really mountainous island. It's got a really cool jungle feel to it. And I decided to go do a waterfall. After the waterfall, I went into this really cool place called the Garden of Eden, and I highly recommend you go do it. If you go to type in Quran on Google Maps and you type in Garden of Eden, it's like tucked away in the middle of these rice paddies in the middle of the jungle of the island. And I had to take a scooter down there, the road to the Garden of Eden is really, really rocky and treacherous. And I was like, I don't know if I'm going in the right direction. But as soon as I got there, it was really cool. It's like this Airbnb with a restaurant that's on a homestay with a farm attached to this like river and the dam. So it's got like a natural river going through it. The first thing I noticed is like it's got a bamboo bridge that crosses across the river into the homestay. And then there's a Cape Buffalo at the bottom of the bridge that's in the river, like a Cape Buffalo from Africa. I'm not sure how they got it into the Philippines. But then there's pigs and dogs and donkeys and not donkeys, but they have like so many animals. It's crazy. I get some lunch, and then there's other people there from Germany. The lady there, her name's Eden. She gives me a tour of the whole place. And I couldn't believe how like environmentally and connected to the earth they were. Like their everything had a purpose. Everything they grew had a reason. They grew their own crops. They grew their own. All the animals were treated with respect. And it was like very wholesome. There was a pregnant cat. They had their own aquifer and rice paddies and water system. And even like the water that they used to feed the rice paddies had fish in it. It was really cool. It was like a self-sustaining, like totally off-grid ecological utopia. I'm not sure how else to say it, but she was really gracious. She showed us around and how they built the farm over decades. And I was really impressed. It's something I want to do in Alberta, very similar setup. But after that, drove back home. They're doing controlled burns all throughout the island. And I guess this is something that they do throughout Asia to control the crops, get rid of brush and forest in exchange for rice paddies. So I'm not sure what's going on there. That night I get back and I head to the bar, decide to go to this place, this jungle Jamaican bar. And that's where I met Prenna. So Prenna is this girl traveling from London that I met. She was also in a relationship traveling solo. And ended up partying with her all night, walking around with her. And then we ended up at this like really cool restaurant above a restaurant where these Filipinos were partying. And I was partying with them. They got this huge jug out of like rum and coke. And I just loved the gestures they were making. They were like moving their heads a lot and joking around with us. And we stayed up all night. I think we stayed up till 5 o'clock in the morning, just like at that place. And then I walked Prenna home, and then I ended up not sleeping, but it was all good. I was like, this is my last night in Quran before we take the ferry to Manila. And that was fine. So take the ferry to Manila the next day, 13-hour ferry, just check into my hotel. And I'm like, hey, I'll go do one thing. I find that the Mall of Asia is nearby in Manila. And Manila is a big town. It's kind of like Bangkok. It's like Tokyo, but it's a little bit different, right? That's the only place in Asia I felt like I might get pickpocketed when I was walking through some of the slums between my hotel and the Mall of Asia. So the Mall of Asia is nice, it's a big development, but on the way there, you feel a little bit sketchy. You know, it's like people are looking at you, they're walking around, there's a million people walking around. It's just a crazy energy, Manila. It's just a different energy, different vibe. Definitely nice people, but it's definitely not an island vibe. It's a big city vibe. And the rush hour, I heard it's got some of the worst rush hour in the world. Like to get from the pier where I got dropped off to my hotel, it was like a 2 or 3 kilometer distance, but it took us 25 or 30 minutes because of the amount of vehicles on the road. So they have a huge problem with urban planning there with regards to like how many people are getting in and out. Like it's probably just as bad, if not worse, than Los Angeles. It's an interesting place for what it is, but depending on where you go, it could be safe, could be not. You just have to kind of do a little bit more research. I saw my first Canadian sighting for the whole trip. The whole 2 months I've been in Asia, I hadn't seen one real Canadian place. There's like Canadian restaurants here and there, but there was one outwardly Canadian place in Osaka. This was the first place I'd seen. It was a Tim Hortons right beside the Mall of Asia. And I went in there and I got an old fashioned donut and a double double because, of course, a little bit of Canadiana for you. The Mall of Asia was just a mall. It was interesting. It was fine. But I decided to get some food there and I was probably going to head back or watch a movie or something and just head her. So I found this place called Hawker Chan that apparently is like a Michelin star restaurant. And they have one in the Mall of Asia. So I walk across the whole mall. It's massive. It's probably just as big as West Ed. Get to Hawker Chan and sit down. And I recognize this guy might be a Canadian guy. You know, we start talking. And I'm like, where are you from? He goes, Fort Saskatchewan, Edmonton. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. I'm from Edmonton too. And that was the beginning of a beautiful friendship. I ended up hanging with this guy, Braden, the whole last night I was in Manila. The last night I was in Asia, I hung out with Braden. And he was just starting his trip, and I was just ending mine. So, you know, I passed off the torch for him, and, you know, he was going to stay in the Philippines. So, you know, we had a lot in common, same kind of, like, sensibilities and sense of humor and everything. And it was just cool to shoot the shit with him all day. That was fun. Walked around the mall, saw the sunset, and then we went and got a avocado. Oh yeah, they have these avocado shakes. So they take avocados and ice cream, I guess, and make a shake out of it. I think he had two of them that night. I had two as well. We went to go see a movie. It just had this like serial killer movie where this lady loses her mind on an outpost. That's what it was called, Outpost. It was pretty fucking nuts. But we had the whole movie theater to ourselves and it was free popcorn. I was like, dude, we're living the dream. It's fucking sick. I parted ways with him, and then that was my last night in Asia. So hit to the airport the next day, reconnect with Mitch, and then we had to go from Manila to Tokyo, and Tokyo back to Vancouver, Vancouver to Edmonton. Yeah, I went from Manila, which was 36 degrees, to Edmonton, which was minus 20. So 56 degree temperature change. I've adjusted to it now. It's a little bit warmer, but yeah, that was my trip to Asia. So a little bit of a longer one to end this off, but man, the Philippines. Yeah, so that was Asia. I had a blast, met a million people, experiences, everything I thought it would be and more. You know how it is. Never grow up with no stories to tell. I already told you what it was. Until next time, I'll see you on the other side of the ocean. You know what I mean? Peace.